Welcome in the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for finding us on your favorite podcast app, Apple or Android, or at Dash Radio. We've moved our time on the Nothing But Net channel. We're now on 7 to 8 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday. Also, check out my new show on OnsideRadio.com. That's where you hear from Five Reasons Sports personalities, not just about the Heat, but also about the Dolphins. I had Chris Kaufman, our CK Parrot from 3 Yards Per Carry, on there today, breaking down some of the Dolphins running back issues. So make sure that you check that out. You can subscribe to that everywhere that you get Five on the Floor. Also, FiveReasonsSports.com. That's where Brady Hawk is pumping out 18 articles a day against his will. Make sure that you check that out, as well as the latest from David Fernandez and others on the Miami Dolphins. Also, the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. And that, of course, includes our friends, including Mark, over at U-Brake Wheel Fix, a wheel repair and refinishing company located in North Miami with 15 years of experience. Fix bent or cracked wheels damaged on the streets of South Florida. You know you need to do that because you know what these streets are like. They have fast turnaround times on most repairs, and they even offer loaner wheels while they fix or refinish their wheels so you can keep your car on the road without interruption. If your wheels are faded or peeling, U-Brake Wheel Fix offers complete refinishing back to factory standards. If you're bored with the look of your wheels, U-Brake Wheel Fix offers over 5,000 different finishes to customize the look of your wheels. Don't spend money on new wheels when you can renew them at U-Brake Wheel Fix. U-Brake Wheel Fix offers a complete line of custom wheels and tires for every vehicle application. They offer in-house repair and complete vehicle customization. I've been down there. It's really, really, really cool stuff. It's also really hot. Call U-Brake Wheel Fix today at 305-748-0112. That's 305-748-0112. Or go online at ubrakewheelfix.com. You can find them on Google, Instagram, which is where I would recommend checking out all their stuff, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Yelp. And if you mention Five Reasons Sports, when you call 305-748-0112, you receive 15% off anything, repairs, refinishes, whatever it is that you want to do. UbrakeWheelFix.com. And now, today's episode.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
On the floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick with Alphonse Sidney, Alex Toledo, and Greg Sylvander, part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. First, make sure you check out the podcast that I did with Alex Toledo yesterday. We went through whether or not the Heat are a top five team in the NBA. I will not give away the ghost there, but I will tell you it was close. And for the first time in a while, Alex and I agreed at the end of the day. Anyway, two people who will not say at the end of the day quite so much, Alphonse Sidney, Greg Sylvander. We're going to go through the latest news. I don't know if it's news. Okay. I don't know if it's news or not. But there is a source now, a legitimate source at ESPN. Jackie McMullen has been a standout in, you know, NBA media for a long time. Of course, hails from Boston, but she's been part of she's been on this podcast before. She's terrific. She's written books. I mean, she's pretty much royalty in NBA media. She's reporting that Giannis is going to sign the Supermax. Greg, we haven't seen it from a lot of other people, but it does seem like everything's moving that direction.
I mean, that's what it sounds like, but it's hard to really substantiate, you know, what you hear maybe from on a podcast or a tweet or something like that. So for me personally, I don't know that it's necessarily so signed, sealed, and delivered, but it does look like it's, if it does move in that direction, obviously there's implications for the Heat and where they turn to and what player they may target next, or just obviously Giannis has been such the focus of all the 2021 plans, but so I don't know. It's hard for me to, until you see it coming from more directions, it's hard to 100% legitimize it, but I think it definitely begs the question of, is it Bradley Beal season or what direction do they go?
Alf, I mean, at this point, would you be almost surprised if he doesn't stay there?
I'll be surprised. No, I mean, if he doesn't, I expect him to leave. I don't think him signing the Supermax means he's staying. I think it makes it harder for him to go to the Heat. I guess Alex is here in spirit.
Drink Biscayne Bay Brew. Every time you say at the end of the day, you must swig an entire bottle of Biscayne Bay Brew. So try the Tropical Bay IPA.
But yeah, I think the Heat are probably looking at the situation at this point and saying, and I bet they always have, they have plan B, C, D, E, F, and G. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how viable the Giannis thing is anymore, given the Bam extension, if he does sign the Supermax. But players with Supermaxes get moved all the time, right? We've seen Kemba Walker. We've seen Chris Paul. We've seen Russell Westbrook. These contracts are able to get moved. So I don't think it's the end-all, be-all. But I do think the Heat are probably looking at other options right now.
All right, so let's go through some of those other options. If we're to assume that he is staying put, he is signing the Supermax. I mean, I don't want to downplay this because we've talked about this for a year. You know, I tweeted, you know, they're building a team for Giannis to love. We can't backtrack completely and say it's no big deal. It is a big deal. He was number one on the target list. There's no question that nobody inside the Heat has ever denied that. Nothing's ever come out that's been different from that. So there is a disappointment level. Like, we can move on and hope traffic, as I think the three of us are going to do about other options. They have still more options than pretty much any other team in the league, but they may not have the option, right? Now, they may not have the option. Okay. And so the best thing that happened this offseason is maybe Milwaukee put itself in a cap position where, you know, they can't win a championship with this group potentially. And so Miami has a better chance to win a championship against Giannis, but it doesn't appear that it's going to happen.
Ethan,
with Giannis,
can I give a
right?
hot take? Yes. And we'll go into more of these players, but
I know where you're going.
I don't think Giannis was the best option anyway.
Okay. So you know what? Let's do that. I thought that's where you might go, but again, we got to acknowledge we've talked about it for a long time, so I don't want to poo-poo it too much.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'll let you go on that. Why was he not the best option?
The fit next to Bam. We've seen it, the thing is, okay, at the beginning of last season, I think everybody looked at Giannis and said, Giannis is the whale. It is exactly what the Heat need. That's the kind of guy they need. And then you look at Bam's emergence, and you have to, at this point where you've given Bam a max contract, the team needs to be formed around Bam and Jimmy. And if you're going to put the best possible option next to Bam, it's not going to be Giannis. The thing is, when you bring in a guy like Giannis, of course, listen, you can get a guy like Giannis, you get him, right? I mean, there's no question about it. MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. But is the goal for the Miami Heat going forward should be who fits best next to Bam? And the answer is not Giannis. That's not going to be the guy that you say, let me put this guy next to Bam, and it's going to accentuate Bam the most. Like, that's not the number one option now that Bam has made this leap. And if you expect him to make subsequent leaps in the future, you want to surround Bam with guys that can shoot. Guys that, they can create off the dribble as a second option. Like, you need guys who can create their own shot. I know that Giannis can do that, but Giannis doing that a lot of times takes away from the rest of the offense. So you need, you need shot creators. You need shot makers. That's not what Giannis is. You're almost duplicating some of the things Bam does by bringing in a guy like Giannis.
And what's up, Greg?
I mean, the thing is this, like, let's not, I think we all can acknowledge that getting Giannis, Spo would make that work, whether it's getting out in transition more or figuring out, just ways to make
non-shooters yeah.
work. But to Al's point, this is a rare situation where the Heat have kind of the roster resolved. And there's a lot of these other teams, whether it be this Milwaukee situation where we're almost jumping the gun a little bit in saying that he signed the Supermax, because there's no indication of that officially. So let's see, and let's let that play out. If it doesn't happen, that'll be an indication of something also, but that's an unresolved situation. Kind of what's going on in Washington is unresolved. What's going on in Houston is unresolved. You don't know what's going to happen with the Clippers or whether it be Portland, who's trying to take a step up. So I feel like the Heat is in a rare spot where I know Heat fans don't want to listen to, let's just wait and see what situation that they think is going to resolve itself doesn't, and then you pounce on that player. But that's kind of where they've arrived, because yes, a lot of the eggs were in the Giannis basket, and you definitely want the marquee free agent, the MVP, the perennial, award winner. But you do have other options. And I just feel like they're in this unique spot where they can see if Hero, Robinson, those guys are good enough. And if not, you just pounce on the guy who becomes available.
You know why I love that we're doing this exercise? Because if he ends up not signing the Supermax, we're going to play all these clips. Like when they end up getting him in 2021, if that happens, it'll be like, wait a second. We didn't really.
No. Okay. Let's see the nuance. You're losing the nuance.
I'm missing the new. I am Mr. Nuance. That's my.
You're losing it. You're losing. Like I can honestly say that Giannis would make the Heat a championship team right now. But is he the best fit next to Bam? No, he's not. There's other guys that would be a better fit next to Bam. That doesn't mean it's like when it's like your whole take about not wanting James Harden. Like, No. You get the guy. Like, if that guy is available, like the former MVP, a guy who could drop 30 a game, you get the guy. Is he the best fit? Yeah, you didn't think James Harden would be the best fit for the team. But guys like that, when they come along, you get those guys. Yeah.
The 06 team had pieces that didn't fit, So we've seen it happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Well, trust me, I was against that team, so I understand it.
That's why I brought it up.
I know you did. You guys always need to do that. And look, ill-fitting teams can win. I mean, they can. I mean, if they have enough talent and they catch fire and they've got a guy playing like Flash Wade did, then yeah, you've got an opportunity. I'm with Greg on this, okay, that I do believe Spoelstra would make this work. I don't really think this is the challenge. This would have been the challenge to make work that everybody makes it out to be, because I think everybody is assuming no progression in the spacing capabilities of Bam and Giannis. And I think that as those two things happened, Bam's, I think, is going to happen naturally. And I think Giannis would get a major boost from being in the Heat system and with their record of improving shooters, even LeBron, by the way, that I don't think either of them would have been elite floor spacers, but I think they would have been passable in that sense. And even if Jimmy stays at the level he was at this past year as a shooter, you could put the two shooters around them and have enough shooting and be so dynamic because of the ability of those three players to get to the line and create that way and break down your defense and get your players in foul trouble. And then on the other end, I mean, there's no denying what that would look like. I mean, it would arguably be the best defensive threesome we've seen in this market. It might be one of the best in league history. If you throw Bam, Giannis, and Jimmy out there at the same time, I don't care who you put out there at the other two spots. So
yeah, you start Duncan
it.
And Hero at that point.
Well, that's basically that's who they would put out there, right?
You don't lose a minute of sleep at that point.
No, not in the slightest. So I do think that I think we got to look at this, but I understand what we're saying. He's not the perfect fit. He's a better fit than Harden, in my opinion. Now we can talk about some of the other potential fits and let's start here. And then the different paths, but let's start with the paths before we get to the fits, Greg. So if Giannis is not the target anymore in 21, if he's off the table, we look at the rest of the free agent list in 21. And to me, there's a lot of hope trafficking in who's going to actually be there. Like I remember there's been certain free agent classes where there's been a lot of talk about how great they could be. And by the time you got to the actual class, a lot of the players were not actually available. 2010 is one of the few times that it actually came together in that way where everybody was available, right? Like, and it wasn't just LeBron and Wade and Bosch that were taking visits, but it was Stoudemire, it was Boozer, it was Joe Johnson, okay? I mean, there was a long list of players. I don't know, is this 21 list going to look like that?
No, I don't think so. I think you're onto something there, and that's where I really feel like if Giannis truthfully is going to remain in Milwaukee, that this really becomes a primary build via trade, if that needs to happen at all. And we'll get to that to that point in a moment. But the other option from a trade perspective, when you look at 2021 and that free agency class, is that you're also going to want to look ahead a bit to 2022. And I bet Miami would be interested in going around to some of the unrestricted free agents or guys with options for that upcoming year and seeing if there could be a team who's feeling a little squeamish about you know, like that their star leaving and seeing if you could get a guy a year early. I know that that's, you know, there's risk in that, and there probably would be assets that you would need to include to get some of those guys, but that's another avenue. But I really think that this becomes much more about trade versus carving out any free agency space. I think they'd stay above the cap and they would basically operate with the trades as the primary option.
Could you give me a couple names though that Alpha and I can go over? Which names jump out to you?
You mean from a trade perspective?
No, from 21 guys. Because I mean, Kawhi's the guy, right? But I mean, you're assuming that Kawhi's going to either A, leave the Clippers, and then B, leave Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, maybe Paul George becomes an option. I think that it's worth, you know, other than that, it gets, you're right about that. I mean, the class gets a little, I mean, is Oladipo good enough to carve out a max slot for? I think that maybe there could be options to acquire him sooner and get a read on that. You know, who else are we looking at? Kyle Lowry, are you going to pay him big money? I don't see that. Jrue Holiday, maybe he opts out and he becomes an option, but that feels a bit like a consolation prize on a long-term deal. So it does get dicey.
I mean, does any of that do much for you? Because I feel like we talked about this 21 class forever. But I don't really know materially, again, if it's going to shape up like 2010 did.
I mean, the 21 class has always been Giannis and nothing else, right? There's a lot of guys whose deals are coming up in 21 that no one actually thinks they're going to leave their team. There's a lot of B-level guys, you know, like the Kyle Lowry's and stuff like that. But it was Giannis or bust. So if the Giannis window looks like it's closing, I think Greg is right. The answer is trades. And I think within the next year, as you see, teams like the Rockets and the Wizards and teams kind of fall by the wayside and get forced into rebuilding modes, you're going to see guys shake loose. And those are going to be the Bradley Beals, the James Hardens. And that's when Riley is going to have to pounce. And what's going to happen is Heat fans are going to have to understand quickly that the guys that you fell in love with are going to become expendable. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like,
or
I think that's
not.
What's that?
Or they're not. Like, this is the whole other angle of this, is that we're assuming that they have to go and get another superstar. And I think that maybe the ascension of Tyler Hero, if you have Duncan Robinson continue to improve, there also is this other option of organically having a team that is good enough to win a championship, adding to what you have. So I don't think that can be, I know that it is not the splash that we have been hope trafficking, that I have been hope trafficking, but if all of a sudden Tyler Hero plays at an all-star level and gets 21 points a game next season, and Duncan Robinson continues to shoot the way he shoots, and you have anything with, you know, some of the young players that they brought in, I mean, how
Precious,
far away are
AZ.
They? Yeah.
Listen, how far away are they? You know, two games from an NBA championship. Right. Like we've talked about before, you know, it wasn't a fluke, but things did shake very well for the Heat in the bubble. Like it was their type of atmosphere. But what we're not accounting for, and what, you know, a lot of people out there that are judging the Heat are not accounting for, is leaps. And that's what Greg is talking about right now. Leaps from guys like Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo, KZ Akpala, Precious. I'm not going to try to say his last name, right? But then you look at, you know, the older players on the Heat. Okay, outside of Goran Dragic, what significant player on the Heat are you looking for a drop off from? Right?
Right.
It's you're right. All these guys are, you know, either in their prime or entering their prime or 2 to 3 years away from their prime. So you're not thinking, you know, if you're a Raptors fan, you're hoping Kyle Lowry maintains the same, you know, level that he did the year before. If you're a Celtics fan, you're hoping Marcus Smart doesn't fall off a cliff. If you're a Heat fan, you don't have the same kind of concerns. You're honestly just looking at 40% of your roster looking to make a leap. And that's, you're in a good position as a Heat fan.
It's funny to think about that we're even talking about running it back, and that the non-splash could even be an option, because it's the anti-Riley move. You feel like
Well, that's what I want to get into. Okay, so let's do, you know what? A word from Safe Cubbies, and there's a part of this I want to address because I think you've hit on it, Greg.
I want to introduce you to another of the great new sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, and it is a sponsor that would be important in any time if you want to have a beautiful workspace, but it's especially important now when you need a safe one as well, and that's SafeCubbies.com, which offers modular office solutions designed to elevate your open office into a modern and safe environment at any budget. You can personalize your workspace with options like whiteboards, magnetic panels, acrylic sheets, and graphic branding. Most of the surfaces are non-porous for easy cleaning and can be removed or replaced within minutes. Now, this is for workplaces. They've got a bunch of different options on their professional series, but also they've got private room solutions, dividers, and sneeze guards, and they have a classroom series as well. So if you're involved with a school, this is definitely something your school should check out, of course, if we have school in the fall. And that's the point here. We are entering a new normal period with COVID-19. SafeCubbies.com, which is locally owned, is the place that you want to go. The phone number is 754-216-1071. Again, that's 754-216-1071 or SafeCubbies.com.
All right, right back on Five on the Floor. I've got Greg Sylvander. I've got Alphonse Sidney. Before we went to the break, and again, make sure you check out safecubbies.com, particularly in these times. You hit on it. It's not the Riley move. I wonder, okay, we don't talk about splits inside the Heat organization, right? Because there's always one voice, right? There's not leaks about that kind of stuff. You don't have, like, everybody has their own reporter, and this is what I wanted to do, and this is what this guy wanted to do. Some stuff will get out, like, a year later, but, like, nothing gets out at the time. But here's my question. If you just look on the surface of it, you would think there would be certain people inside the Heat organization, I don't know, Eric Spoelstra, right, who believe in development, right, internal development. We can make this guy better. We can make this guy from a borderline NBA player to an average NBA player. We can make a guy from an average NBA player to a rotation player. We can make him from a rotation player to a starter. We can make him from a starter to a star. Okay, that is the way that Spoelstra thinks. That's the type of staff he's brought in. That's been the relationship with Sioux Falls. It seems to be aligned with Adam Simon and others in the organization in that regard, right? And then there's Pat. And that's never been Pat's approach, with the exception of, I'm not saying he hasn't found some jewels, whether it was in New York, like a Mason and a Starks. And obviously we can go through the Anthony Carters, the Austins, the Bowens, the Mike Jameses and Haslams and on and on and on in Miami. But ultimately it was, those are going to be your support players, but we're going to go after the big, big fish. And I'm not saying that, or the whale or the orca. And I'm not saying that Eric doesn't want those things, because Eric is the one that was trying to sell Durant and was trying to sell Hayward and all that. But I do wonder if there's any kind of a difference in philosophy there, where maybe at some point there will be some in the Heat organization, I'm not saying it'll be Eric, but maybe others, who are like, we can win with this group. We can get this group better enough that we just need to keep fine tuning the edges. And meanwhile, you've got Riley, who I keep saying didn't put off Malibu for Oladipo. Does that make any sense?
It does. But I also think that, You have to also consider that if Bam Adebayo becomes a superstar, if he is indeed the max player that he was just extended to be, that you, and then if Tyler Hero becomes what maybe we saw him, you know, the ascension, and if that continues, they could kind of have manufactured a couple of superstars, whereas in past years they didn't have that. So they had one in Dwayne and had to go get others, or they had Shaq and Dwayne, Dwayne first, but you knew he was heading in that direction. So it's just a different build. So the thing with Riley is this, is as he's gotten further and further towards Malibu, it seems as if he's more willing to listen to his staff and listen to the direction of the overall room and read the room. So I don't think that they're going to necessarily be in this position where he's going to send Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo away in a knee-jerk move for a win now player. But I don't know. I have a feeling that he's going to listen to the staff, and they may just have better players than they thought that they were going to. Do they need a whale? That's the thing. Like, I guess I can't believe I'm arriving at the place where I'm asking, do they need a whale?
I mean, they have the whale, right? They just signed the whale to a max contract. right? Yeah.
And you're
looking at the team. They have two whales right now.
Yeah. And I just think Heat fans in general, the perception and kind of everything has been about how are we going to chase the next player, that these were all kind of the pieces that was building to the ultimate acquisition that rivals the LeBron acquisition. And probably some of that's my damn fault, but ultimately maybe it's unnecessary. And it was dramatic. And at this point, if Hero keeps playing the way he does and Bam did the things that he did, you already have the kind of foundation in place. I mean, we went through teams with max players the other day, and there weren't a bunch that you'd take over Bam and Jimmy as your duo to start.
No, but here's, go ahead, Alf.
I'm sorry. Well, first of all, like, that duo got you to an NBA Finals, and if Goran Dragic and Bam weren't hurt, who knows what would have happened. But one thing I like about what the Heat did this year is, yes, they did not sacrifice 2021 flexibility, but they also did not just throw out the idea of the team that they have is a competitive, a title contending team, because they just got to the finals. Like, a lot of people, you know, upset that the Heat extended Bam out of bio. Like, get out of here. Are you insane? Like, I like the fact that he said, we have a championship team. Now, if the opportunity presents itself, of course, the Heat are going to jump on it. But one thing they did and they made sure to do is just not completely mortgage the future for the chance of maybe getting Giannis. I'm not going to say his last name. Or maybe getting Bradley Beal, or maybe getting Kawhi Leonard. Like, they kept this team that just made a finals run intact, and they secured their best player, and they're going forward with the mindset that we have enough, like Eric Spoelstra would say. But they also kept in mind that now they have the pieces, they have the assets. If the move does present itself, they can make that move. And if they don't make that move, they have enough internal development to say, well, we already have two whales and we might have the third whale on our roster already. It's like I really think there's Heat fans that got disappointed in this offseason, and I just don't get it. Like, you're in such a good position as a fan.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. And I got one more question, because I think Greg again hit on something. Not, Alf, that you're not making great points at the end of the day, but there's another thing that Greg hit.
I haven't said anything of any consequence this entire...
No, you have. You said plenty of things, but I've been writing... There's something else that I wrote down from Greg, because I want to hit on it. Because here's the thing. Greg lapses into Riley speak, and so it reminds me of things that Pat said. This happens all the time. And so I wrote this one down, and I want to go to it a second. We got one more segment here. But here's the other thing. If you've got a car accident at the end of the day, or a slip and fall at the end of the day, or if you were hurt as a result of someone else's negligence, make sure you give the attorneys at Seltzer Mayberg a call. They're available 24/7 at the end of the day at onecalllegal.com. Or you can call 1-855-5000-LAW. That's 1-855-5000-LAW. They've got a centralized office located right off I-95 in North Miami. That's right about 107th and 95. And they're ready to take on your case, whether it's in South Florida or anywhere else. So say hello to David or Mendy or Cassandra or Eric or any of the great people over at Seltzer Mayberg. Again, it's onecalllegal.com, onecalllegal.com. All right, Greg, you said something else. You just threw this one in there, because, again, Riley speak lapses into Leif speak. You said the next thing. And so you're blaming yourself for this, but to a certain degree, can't we blame Pat for the expectation level? Because he switching from the main thing to the next thing, even if he wasn't necessarily promising, he knows Heat fans. He knows how spoiled they are about this stuff. And he kind of threw it out there, whether it was a message to Giannis and the Beals of the world or whether it wasn't. Heat fans certainly took it that way, right? So it didn't sound to me like, when you say the next thing, you're not talking about Tyler Hero developing a better pick and roll game, okay, or Bam Adebayo, you know, hitting a 15-foot jumper. You're talking about the next thing that's not here yet.
Maybe, or may, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a situation where that's alluding to that you're leaning into the future with a young core, which again, I recognize is not the Riley move, but it's a different kind of era and it's a different team. And I think also something that'll be interesting to see play out is how much they listen to Jimmy in this, because Jimmy has been so behind Bam and behind Tyler Hero. And those are the kind of players that if you're going to cash in chips for some headlining name that you think that you need to bring in here, it's going to cost one of those guys. So I think that by him saying that it was on, like, you know, the main thing is turned into the next thing, that could also be alluding to the fact that there's just no reason to rush with this. And I know Heat fans hate that this is a transaction driven situation, but it's just they have no incentive to rush into any player.
Thoughts, Alf, on that? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Pat on this? You're in a good spot. Of course, Pat is, he speaks in these platitudes that it's constantly, everything he says, you're constantly trying to decipher it and see, like, what does he mean? Is he sending a message to Giannis? Is he talking about James Harden? Like, who's the next whale? Orca? What, you know, I mean, he does these press conferences that have you walking away thinking that he has this ace up his sleeve. And truth be told, I mean, for the most part, what Pat does is pounce on opportunities that present themselves. And a lot of the times these opportunities don't present themselves years beforehand. Like the whole, the 2010 thing, like, I think people, like, that is not the, you know, the Pat Riley, you know, blueprint. Like that 2010 thing where it was like years in the making, Pat is like, you know, somebody gets pissed off, disgruntled superstar somewhere, and boom, he just pounces on and jumps on it right away. I think Pat is kind of waiting for one of those opportunities. I don't think there's a master plan right now. Like, yeah, Giannis in 2021, they want to keep flexibility, all that stuff. But I don't think it's where it is to the same level as 2010 was. I think you saw with the Bam extension that they believe in the core that they have right now. It's not like 2003 where they would sell all these guys, you know, right. For Shaq. It's not 2010 where they had nobody on the roster but Chalmers and Beasley. It's not that. Mm-hmm. This is not that. They have a team they believe in. They would like to add somebody to it, a guy like a Beal or somebody of that, you know, of that stature. But if they don't, they believe that what they have is formidable going forward. And that's what makes this team different than any of these other, 2010, 2003, any of these other years past that we're talking about.
I'm with you on all of it. I think that the problem they're going to run into this year with Heat fans is that the expectations got ratcheted up two ways. They got ratcheted up because the team went way ahead of expectations in the bubble, being two wins from a championship. It's crazy to even say it, considering where they were at the beginning of the year. Two wins from a championship without two of their three best players for the majority of that series. And then also it got ratcheted up because of the potential of Giannis in 21. And I'm fearful of the completely, you know, irrational, ungrateful Heat fan that we're going to see over this next year. If they start, 17-11, right, and they're third or fourth in the Eastern Conference, and that whale is not necessarily there. And then everybody's nitpicking about, you know, the growth in Bam and Hero's game that hasn't come yet. I can see it. I mean, literally, as we're recording this yesterday, I was, you know, Dolphin fans. I mean, they've had 20 years of complete irrelevance, right? And that team is 7-4, and they're bitching because they're not blowing out the Jets by enough. This is sort of the South Florida fan base, and the Heat fans have a reason to be even more that, because this has been so damn good to them for the last quarter century.
One of the things we have to, we do it all the time. I do it. Leif does it. You do it. We sit here and we're like, oh, I worry about what the fans are going to think. Eric Spoelstra doesn't give a shit what Heat Fan for Life on Twitter thinks. True. Pat Riley doesn't give a shit what Heat Life or 405-618 on Twitter thinks. Like, they don't care that Leif hope trafficked and they didn't get Giannis. They don't care that some guy in his basement is screaming at you for your so-called sources being wrong. Like, all this stuff is media shit that we get involved in, and, you know, social media stuff that we get involved in, because it's part of, like, listen, it is the market that we traffic in.
Like, Ethan, has the Giannis Bam t-shirt made the walls feel like they're caving in on you or something?
Well, we sold a bunch of them. I will say that I haven't had the request for refunds yet. I was expecting the two of 2020 refunds if to be asked for, if he wasn't on the team. And look, I get it. No, I don't feel any guilt on that. Okay. It was the plan, and it still could happen.
Exactly. It's not over.
It's not over. You know? It's not over, but it looks like, I mean, look, to me, a lot of things broke in that direction, including the total botching of the offseason by the Bucks. And this may just come down to one of two things, ultimately, out of the Heat's control, okay? The first is, it's more money in Milwaukee. That's simple. A lot of times it's about that. But also, he's a loyal guy, and we knew that coming into this, right? Like, that's part of his nature. And so the Heat were always going to be up against those two factors. Those two things were working against him. He's kind of a small market, loyal guy, and secondarily, it's more money there. And you put those two things together, and what the Heat are offering, which is, okay, more potential paths to a championship, perhaps better players around you, better weather, no state tax, okay, more proven organization. Those are great, great selling points. And maybe the Heat are second on his list. Like, maybe the Durant was second on their list, or they were second on Gordon Hayward's list. Again, they kind of dodged a bullet there. Okay, but they've been second on a lot of lists, but sometimes the team that is first just has inherent advantages, and it doesn't mess like the horseshoes and hand grenades. Like, you can be this close, but you still don't get the guy. Okay, and I'm not saying that's the wrong path. You take a shot. You always take the shot, but that may just be what ends up happening here. If that makes
no
sense.
No, that's what I've been trying to say. It's like, the Heat are in a good position. Like, they can ride this out. And yes, there are going to be some fans out there that, because they didn't make a big, like, let's say they ride out this core group for the next 2 years, there are going to be fans that get, you know, even if they make Eastern Conference Finals in another finals appearance, and if they don't win another title, there's going to be fans that are upset. Riley's washed. He's asleep at the wheel. Blah, 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 blah. Dumbasses, right? But if they're able to be competitive with this core for the next few years, it's a win in my book, right?
Well, and the other part is this. Like, they just watch and see how good these guys are. And you're going to know pretty quickly if Hero and Robinson shouldn't be packaged for a player, or if they need to go all in. So that's where, you know, like, from a perspective of between now and Christmas, do I see them making a move for anybody? No, I think that they is to go into the season with this team. You see what you have, you see who develops. It's kind of out of their control too. When you talk about Giannis and maybe him just wanting to stay in Milwaukee, and they can't control that. They also maybe thought that the Bam leap that just took place was going to happen a year later, and the whole extension conversation wasn't going to be a big factor now, that it would have been more natural to push it off by a year, but he played so damn well that obviously was accelerated. So that's another thing that it's a good problem to have, but it is something that I think changed a little bit of the calculation.
Yeah, I think that the bubble created a lot of good problems to have, honestly. I think it did in a lot of different ways. I think it took them some different directions that they really weren't anticipating when they went in there. If you go in there and follow the 3-5 wasn't really fair, because that last game against Indiana was that was a giveaway game. But if you go in there and go 4-4 in the bubble and lost in the second round to Milwaukee in five games, these are very different conversations. And the fact that you beat the Bucks, the fact that you got to the next round, and then, you know, again, maybe that stoked something in Giannis to want to stay. I mean, we all assumed it made him want to leave. Maybe it was like, okay, I got unfinished business here. Okay. And every personality is different. Not everybody is LeBron. And I think sometimes I'm at fault for this, is that I've done a lot of comparing of the Giannis situation to the first LeBron situation. And maybe I have, as someone who knew LeBron pretty damn well, but doesn't know Giannis as well, maybe I have kind of, I don't know, put personality traits on Giannis that LeBron has that Giannis doesn't have. And they're very different, right?
Well, Ethan, don't feel guilty. This is the toy department of human affairs, as Pat Riley calls calls it, so it's not that serious.
No, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying I think we all need to kind of look at this situation if it doesn't work out and say, okay, did we misread it, or just was this all sort of destined to happen and this was just hopeful? And I think in some ways it's probably a little bit of both. All
you
right.
Want me to do like a Stephen A thing where I just like completely destroy Giannis? Like, he has no fortitude. He doesn't want to win. He doesn't have a championship mentality. Michael Jordan would have never accepted the mediocrity of the Milwaukee Bucks. Coach Bud, whatever his name is, he's a loser.
At the end of the day, the fact of the matter is
he has flagrantly failed to bring a championship to the city of Milwaukee. I'm sorry. Was that what you wanted?
Super That's perfect. Take. Check out our sponsors. Again, go to safecoveys.com, onecalllegal.com. If you've had a car accident, youbreakwheelfix.com. Mention 5 reasons, get 15% off everything. At the end of the day, we'll be back tomorrow.
Pat Riley has failed Miami. He has failed the Miami Heat fans. He has failed Heat Twitter by not bringing a third superstar to help out them boys, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.